Alrighty, here we are. Welcome to the shooting bench. It's the 20th of November. I think I said it wrong last night. Somebody pointed that out to me. It is November. It is not October. It's almost Thanksgiving. We're up here, what is it? It's a week from today, by golly. So, hope everybody's getting ready for that and spends it correctly. We've got a class coming up this weekend, day after tomorrow. And then another one on the 27th and 28th of December, and another one on the 13th of December. So that's what we're going. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's all of them. That's what we got going on right now. So anyway, I suppose you guys watched the speech by Dear Leader a while ago. I don't know what I can say about this. It was a given. I mean, I know that he's going to do everything you watch over the next 2 months, month and a half now, before the new Congress takes over. He's going to do every single thing that he can do with what he has to work with right now to destroy America. He's doing a great job. And it's like the Keystone Pipeline. Now, the Republicans are saying they're going to bring that back up again just as soon as they take control. We'll see if they will or not. But I'm anxious to see how seriously they're going to fight this immigration thing. I hope that they get real serious about this. I don't know what can be done. I don't know how much damage can be done before they take control. I don't know how much damage. I don't know how much worse it can get than it already is, to tell you the truth. But at any rate, this next 2 months is going to be very, very interesting stuff. So we'll kind of wait and see what happens there. I'm so flustered and frustrated right now that it's difficult to talk intelligently about this. Back when I used to say that I didn't know how much worse it could get, and you know, balloon was going to go up just any time and all that, and here we are, so many times more worse than it was, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. And it's astounding to me. It's absolutely flabbergasting. Blows me away how the American people have continued to let this stand. There is a little bit of hope on the horizon. The I-594 rally up in Washington, up in Olympia, Washington, on the 13th of December. That's going to be very interesting, to say the least. I think there's going to be a whole lot of armed individuals there, and a whole lot of them are going to be coming up with marginal attitudes. And history is going to be made one way or another. I can assure you that history is being made here. So we'll see what happens. We'll see. Hopefully, and that's true, T-Dog. That's true. There's so damn few of them willing to stand right now. They've got just a tiny little handful that are willing to go out there and just sacrifice, you know, everything. For this, you've got a little bit larger amount that's willing to sacrifice some, as long as they don't, it doesn't get into their 401k or their career, or don't want to risk too much, but they're willing to stand. And then there's a great many more of them that are willing to sit on the computer behind an anonymous handle of some kind and pound away and tell them how they're going to do this, that, and the other, and then get up and go get a a Twinkie and a strawberry shake and come back and pound out how they're gonna be there and go to Washington and take over everything and fight the feds and damn the UN and all them illegal Mexicans, rah 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 rah, and that's about the extent of it. So I don't suppose it's a whole lot different than it was in 1775, to tell you the truth. I just hope that we have that 3% now. I keep saying I don't think we'll have to wait too long to find out, and I keep being wrong. I keep being wrong. I keep overestimating the American people, that they will no longer stand for this. What is it going to take? I don't know. I don't know what's going to push them over the edge. I don't know what's going to be that catalyst. You know, everybody always says, well, when they come door to door and start getting guns, that'll be it. Well, you know what? First thing, that's not going to be it, because they've already done that to some extent in California back when they had the SKSs and all that. I have the paperwork somewhere that from the sheriff's office out there where they were going to go door to door and pick up some guns that hadn't been turned in that they knew were out there. Connecticut is on the verge of doing it right now. So I number one, I don't think they're going to do that. Number two, the government knows that. I don't think they're going to make that mistake on any large scale. I don't think they're going to get up one morning and say, okay, everybody, I want you standing at the door with guns in hand when we drive by, and you just throw them in the back of this truck, or we're going to come in and get them. T-Dog, that's right. If there was ever a time that someone should have done something, what about Boston after the Boston Marathon bombing? Those people walked out of their homes and allowed illegal, unconstitutional searches, one after another, after another, after another. And nobody said a word. Nobody stood up. Not one person that I remember seeing stood up. They all stood down. So I don't know. It's there is a little bit of good news, though. Hey, there's Norprey. Good to see you. There is a little bit of good news. Here is I got two or three things, actually. It's pretty good news. One of them here: first time ever, a prosecutor is going to go to jail for wrongly convicting an innocent man. I don't remember if we talked about that, but just very briefly. Guy should have said or could have said something and didn't, and somebody spent a little time in jail, like 25 years. And let's see, yeah, 25 years. Guy named Michael Morton. Look it up. To prison for murdering his wife. Well, the prosecutor there did some things that was inappropriate, immoral, illegal, and he's going to jail. And the guy that spent 25 years of his life with his career ruined and everything else in jail for murder is now going to be out and be a free man. That's hardly, and hopefully this guy is getting a damn good lawyer in, nice, sweetie. Hopefully this guy's getting a good lawyer, and I hope he gets a little compensation for all the time that he spent in prison. Now, there's another one here. Good night. There's another one that was even, I guess, that's good. Not as good as it could be. Let's see. Let me go find it here. I've got several of them here. I'm not doing them in any particular order. But here we go. This is a good one. This is in Clark County, Illinois. Clark County, does that ring a bell to you? The most corrupt county in United States out of 3,400 and some odd counties or whatever it is. In this county, just recently, this is today's story, and the entire county board, with the exception of one person, was arrested, marched off to jail. Now, this is the way it's supposed to be done, and I am absolutely flabbergasted that this sheriff would participate in this. But what happened is there's a guy there, two military veterans, Kirk Allen and John Kraft. They live in Edgar County, which they say also might be the most corrupt county in the country. And they've got this group that call themselves the Edgar County Watchdogs. Well, in they went to this county meeting here, and it was supposed to be a meeting where, when they got done, they were supposed to allow the public's input on it. And so they started to close it up, and somebody asked, "Are they gonna allow public input?" And one guy says, "Well, I vote no." Everybody else followed him except for one person. One guy voted against him. And they said, okay, they told the board members, all right, you're free to go. And so these two guys stood up and were going to make, these two veterans stood up and were going to make a citizen's arrest. And the board president or whatever he is says, you know, you need to sit down. You're making a fool out of yourself. And so he says, you're making yourself look like a fool. So he said, exactly. So some deputies were dispatched there, but instead the Clark County Sheriff showed up personally and responded to this. And he said that the two vets handled the citizen's arrest responsibly, and the board was definitely in violation of the Open Meetings Act by not allowing the public to speak. The sheriff said it's not that they should have, it's that they are mandated to. People need to have their voice. It's not a dictatorship, it's a democracy. Now, before everybody jumps on and says, rah, rah, it's a republic, remember this is a county. And if they want to have a democracy in their county, I guess that's their thing. So, and the other thing is, sheriff probably doesn't know the difference. But anyway, the sheriff arrested six of the seven board members, and as they were being escorted out of the building, the crowd went wild. And so, who's the best now, huh? Who looks like a fool now? I thought that was the neatest story I've heard in a long time. This is very much like, for those of you that are familiar with history, the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, back in the 40s. This rates right up there with that. This is... the whole board, they didn't just take the president, they took every damn one of them, except for one guy. And I think that was just amazing. Absolutely amazing. Most impressed with the Clark County Sheriff there. Okay, let's look at some of these other ones here. Here's another sheriff, El Dorado County. He has... this is, what's the date on this? This is an older story. But he has stripped the Forest Service of their state law enforcement power in his county. Over here in Apache County, Arizona. The sheriff over there told during the Wallow Fire, he told his deputy, he said, you go out there and cut those locks and you open those gates. And, you know, there may be hunters in there or whatever. You know, you let make those gates open. He told the sheriff, the Forest Service, said, don't you lock those gates no more. And he stood up to him. And I was impressed in hell, I can tell you that. So it's coming around. It's slow. Very, very slow. But it's coming around here. So... there was a, and this is getting off of the sheriff and law enforcement thing, but there was a teenager here just a couple weeks ago that was suspended in school, from school, for accidentally violating the, hope this doesn't mess everything up. Accidentally violated the school's weapon policy. He's in 10th grade, and he had planned a demonstration for his speech class on how to eat a healthy breakfast. So as part of this demonstration, he's going to cut an apple, which requires the use of a knife, which he brought from home. He said, "I put in the slogan, 'An apple a day keeps the doctor away,' because it was first period. When he brought out the knife in class, he was told it wasn't allowed. He said, 'When I took out the knife, the teacher then told me I couldn't use it, so I didn't hesitate. I just gave it to her.' School day went on as normal, and as he attended his other classes until he got his suspension letter. Suspended for 5 days for having a weapon at school. Now, I'm betting you, I don't know for a fact, but I'm guessing this may have been a butter knife. But the kid's mother, obviously upset. She said, "I can take off my belt and use that as a weapon. Pens and pencils can be used as a weapon. You can't take a person with no intentions to harm and put them and make them a criminal, because that's what you normally do." She says the punishment was too much, and so they're, I thought they were getting a lawyer here. I don't know where I saw that, but maybe they're not. Anyhow, there you go. There's, let me get all these to load here. I had a little card problem. There it goes. Okay. Before we go any further with this, I want to remind everyone again, I'm probably going to remind you probably like 600 or 800 more times between now and the 13th of December. If you can possibly make it up to Olympia, Washington with us up here. I have found about a half a dozen more people today that are, either listeners or Facebook friends that will be, or both, that will be at the rally. I think this is going to be like old home week. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people up there that that we know. I know that Forks is coming in the chat room every once in a while. Norprey is going to be there. His aviator, Northwest Heavy. I got to try to get a hold of Tundra Boar. See if he's going to make it. And anyway, a bunch of others. So it's going to be history in the making. I hope you guys can make it up there, some of you anyway. And what we're trying to do right now, for those of you that can't make it, maybe you could give a hand to those of us that are trying. I got a 3,000-mile round trip to make here. And I've got a place where if you are so inclined, if you'd like to help do that, if you can go to theshootingbench.us and go to the store and go down to the bottom of the products there. There's not very many. There's a few things, some manuals and books and colloidal silver generators, stuff like that. Anyway, I think it's the last one, or next to the last one, is donations. So if you're interested in helping that, we're with supporting the Shooting Bench or any of the several campaigns that we have going on, then it would be most graciously appreciated. I guess some of you may have seen this already. Matter of fact, whether you have or not, you're not going to right now, because I'm going to take a quick break and get a drink of water here before I choke to death. I wasn't totally prepared here when I sat down, so I'm going to go grab a drink, and let's see here. Okay, we're back. T-Dog, I know everybody's going to get tired of hearing me say this, but it is important if you're not sure, you haven't been here for a while, you're not sure what rally, let me explain it to you right now. Initiative 594 has passed in Washington State. It becomes law on December 4th. And if you don't know what I-594 is, it means that all transfers must go through a dealer. It means that if you want to pass your grandpa's single-shot 12-gauge down to your son, you have to go through a dealer to do it. So that's, and it even applies the way it's written, it even applies to Hilti guns on construction jobs. So without spending any more time on that, some of the people that live there have taken exception to this. And there's going to be a right proper rally going on. And so far, there are 6,200 people that have committed to go to this rally. Now, even, you know, if 1,000 shows up, that'll be a nice show. And if half of those people show up, I will be duly impressed. But at any rate, I'm headed up there, and we're hoping that everything goes well between now and then to make it possible. And I'm going to go up there and stay for a week, and we've got to I got to conduct a personal defense handgun 2 class while I'm up there, so that will help a little bit. So that's the rally. That's what we were talking about. So. Okay, there's, you know, I got in a discussion here just a little while before I went on the air, and there's still people out there, and I know there's probably a few of you that feel the same way, but I don't, and I think it's irresponsible as hell. If you missed going to vote for some reason because you moved, you forgot to register, whatever the case may be, couldn't get off work, something like that. That's one thing. If you just intentionally don't go do it because you say your vote doesn't count, that's entirely another. One thing you can be pretty sure of, if you don't cast a vote, I can absolutely guarantee you that it's not going to count. Another thing that I can feel pretty safe to guarantee you, and that is that if you vote, it's most unlikely that it's going to count against you. Now, there were some exceptions to that when the voting machines guys voted and the voting machines tallied it up for the wrong side. But I think that was a pretty isolated case, and it didn't happen all over the country. So when you look at the number of voting machines, the number of people that voted versus the ones that were faulty or whatever they did, I think it's a pretty minuscule amount. But you can be sure that if you do not vote, that your vote will not count. You can be sure that if you don't vote, that you have no room to bitch. You have no room to say anything. Yeah, there's guys out there that use that for an excuse and beat their chest and, oh, yeah, this guy, he don't even know me. You know, he's just talking all this smack about, you know, what I should be doing and could be doing and ought to be doing, like he just knew everything about me. I've never seen him or heard of him in my life, so it was kind of an amusing little. Yeah, you know, one of those guys just had to get the last word, no matter what I said. He had to get the last word in. So, but it was I just let him have it. You know, I just quit after a little while. It gets old after a bit. So, hang on, things started all over again. I think we're gonna. The chat room just pissed-a-deered. Well, let's try this again. Try to keep up with this. Anyway, I was going to tell you, I started a story before the break there about a couple that was fined for refusing to host a same-sex wedding on their farm. this was private property. It wasn't a, you know, 501c3 protected church on a street corner downtown. It was their private property. So these two, Cynthia and Robert Gifford, are now forced to defend themselves against what have they claim as they are, accused of being lesbian-hating homophobes. And apparently they had an openly queer guy working for them, and as they said, we respect and care for everybody. We're just not going to do the... He said, we don't discriminate against anybody. But we are just not comfortable with doing these weddings. And they said no. Anyway, they were ordered to pay $13,000. That's a $10,000 fine to the state, and another $1,500 to each of the lesbians to compensate them for mental anguish. Jeez. $10,000 to the state. The state just says, if you're not going to do this, we're going to make some money on this deal. We're going to charge you $10,000 because we can and you will, and we can use the money. There's always some stupid, frivolous thing that we can go buy with your money. So thank you very much. All because they refuse to hold a same-sex wedding on their property where they live and have raised their kids. They, of course, they think it's scary for everybody and all that, but they said 15 years ago they opened their farm up to the public, and they lived there for 25 years. They host an annual family-friendly fall festival. Wow, say that about four or five times real fast. That ends Tuesday, offering corn maze and pig races and all kinds of country type stuff. So, anyway, the rest of the story is pretty irrelevant. But the girls came to see about getting married. Now, I'm not sure what these... well, I better be nice. The gal showed up there and said they was looking for a place to hold a wedding. The wedding to another woman. And I guess the guy told her politely that he would not book a same-sex wedding ceremony at the farm. We didn't know at the time, but the woman's then fiance, Jennifer, recorded the conversation. So they was up there looking for a fight to start with. They filed a formal complaint with the state. And rest is history. Both these women, 31 years old, currently live in upstate New York, found someplace else to get married, and now both of the women use the last name of McCarthy. Well, there you go. There's since this happened in Oregon, you heard about the Christian owners of the bake shop up there refused to sell a wedding cake to two lesbians. They face what they say hundreds of thousands of dollars in fine. Washington State, a Christian florist could face pretty heavy fines after she refused to provide weddings to two queers for their wedding. Colorado baker, you remember this one, you should remember this, we talked about this on the show two or three times. A Christian baker in Colorado appealing a judge's decision ordering them to start baking wedding cakes for homos and provide his staff with sensitivity training after he refused to create a wedding cake for two guys. Supreme Court this year declined to hear the case of a Christian photographer from New Mexico that claimed that refusing to shoot the commitment ceremony of two lesbians was an expression not only of her constitutional right to religious freedom, it was protected by her First Amendment right to free speech. New Mexico's Supreme Court and the state's Human Rights Commission have decreed that her refusal to shoot equaled unlawful discrimination. So, I don't know, the whole damn world's going crazy. Jay Leno had a chance to redeem himself a little bit. He's always never been overly friendly to gun owners and everything, although he hasn't been real openly against it. He just hadn't particularly been openly for it. So he had a chance to go to the SHOT Show. He didn't have a chance. He's already booked to be the master of ceremonies at the SHOT Show. How awesome would that have been? Man, that would have been a great draw. Jeez, that would have been marvelous. But as soon as he did, as soon as he made that commitment, he had several groups and individuals out there that raised a bunch of hell over it. So when that happened, he canceled. He told these groups, well, I didn't know it was run by the National Shooting Sports folks and all that. Of course he knew. It was, I'll guarantee you, it was on the contract that he signed. But at any rate, says he didn't know. So he, hang on a minute, let me get my cotton picking chat room went away again. I don't know what's going on. So anyway, that's the whole story, is he was going to do it, and then some people got on him about it, and he decided not to. That would have been a neat thing. It would have been a great draw for the SHOT Show. Let's see. We got a concealed carry holder here. And this is a concern for a lot of people that carry guns. It was a, you know, there's always the, wow, what was that? Okay, hang on a minute. Okay, got that taken care of. One of the things that people are concerned about is that they themselves will be prosecuted if they use a gun, or they themselves will be sued if they use a gun, or they themselves may be a victim of revenge in some manner. And this is something that I make very clear in our concealed weapons classes. Is one of the things that you might experience would be revenge if you shot somebody, whether or not they died. Well, that is what has happened here. This guy from Indiana, despite the fact that this guy saved, likely anyway, probably saved several lives, he shot and killed a career criminal. The guy said he now fears for his life. He said a person came into the business, showed a weapon, multiple shots were fired. It is unclear if the suspect fired shots or just brandished his weapon. A witness claims both men fired shots. The witness said he was around in the corner about to go outside when he saw a gun battle go down, and the customer exchanged shots as others in the store searched for safety. When officers arrived, they found the suspect shot multiple times at the entrance of the business. He was pronounced dead at the scene. As it should be. The suspect was ID'd as Allen, who had just been released from prison for serving time for a previous robbery. Evidently, he didn't catch on the first time. So the customer said he likely won't face any charges, is asking that their name and face and name be withheld from the media because they fear retaliation. Now, they don't say why they fear retaliation, or who they fear retaliation from. So this may be something no more than a product of his imagination, but he's scared nevertheless. So, and this is one of the things, like I said, it's one of the things I talk about in my concealed carry classes. This is something that you need to get through your mind before you start carrying that gun. and understand that this is one of many things that might happen. And if it were to happen, how are you going to deal with it? If you think about these things and it is going to cause you to hesitate or mess up in some way when you come down to that critical moment, then maybe you should rethink your options, whether you should carry stun gun, pepper spray, slingshot, or a weapon, a handgun. Hey, Edge of the Woods made it in there. Yeah, I know what you mean, buddy. I understand 100%. I know that we're so tired of this, but, you know, three of us, or eight of us, or 12 of us, or 50 of us are not going to make any difference. It's not going to matter. I say that. Depending on what the circumstances were and what happened and the outcome, the immediate outcome of it, you know, it may start happening all over the country, like the Window War. I think I need to read the Window War again here one of these days. And that's one of my my friend Mike Vanderbo's writings there. The Roger's probably right. If they come looking for revenge, I bet their buddies don't shoot straight either. Yeah, that's probably a fact. So, what do you mean, concrete? And yep, what? Yep, I should do the Window War again. I'm waiting on a response from the guy that I told you about for the gray man concept. And this guy is probably one of the most interesting guests that has ever been on Just Measures Radio. He is an amazing individual, very knowledgeable, extraordinarily knowledgeable about things. There is a yeah, it'd be a little hard for any of us to go gray there now. There's one thing that I disagree with him about. But I'm not sure what he means exactly. So we may get him on a second time. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to pull it on you here one night. I'll try to get him on a second time. The first time I want to get him on, I want to discuss the gray man concept for those. There are some people that listen to the shooting bench that never, ever, ever, ever get in the chat room. I know that they listen because they contact me about ordering, you know, silver generators, survival tabs, whatever the case may be, and they've never been in there. So I think that there are a few that may be able to pursue that concept. Now, whether they would want to or not, that's entirely up to them. But I'm going to try to get him on next week. I've tried to get him to come next Thursday, if at all possible. So if we can, it will be at least an hour of him there, and we may even stretch it out into 2 hours. And then I'll try to get him back a couple of weeks after that for a for this other thing that I disagree with him about. So we'll get into that here next week. Hopefully, I'm just waiting on a response right now. Here's another story of a, there's getting to be too many of these. We're starting to see a few stories come up, a very few, where cops have done something prosecutors or whatever have done something that was illegal, and they've actually been punished for it. I mean, correctly, not just, you know, a few days off with pay. I'm talking about being prosecuted and jailed. There's a few. But there's not nearly enough compared to the number that people do things. This one here, he is going to get in trouble, but I'll tell you what happened. In West Virginia, he's been suspended without pay. That's pretty good, because when you kill people accidentally, they suspend you with pay. So he's been suspended without pay after throwing a homeless man's backpack in the river. Now, what kind of an asshole would do that? Said there was a little altercation going on, and the officer was trying to break up an argument between several homeless people. It may have gone a little too far. So while the homeless guy does confess to being under the influence of alcohol and was ultimately arrested for public intoxication and drunken disorderly conduct, the officer made a questionable move that would come back to haunt him. After the homeless man's release from jail, he filed a complaint saying that he threw his backpack, which had a laptop and the only photos that he owned of his deceased wife, off the bridge. Now, the homeless guy's lawyer told the newspaper that he found it incredibly suspicious that the police dropped the charges out of nowhere with no explanation. The guy said, "I received a dismissal letter out of nowhere. It made me suspicious against the cop." And he said, made me suspicious that the allegations were true. So they agreed to an undisclosed settlement. Well, that's good. The homeless guy got some money. Hopefully he'll use it to better himself. But they said a dive team went down and recovered the homeless man's last belongings. Certainly the pictures wouldn't be any good, and the laptop, or nothing would be any good, but the backpack maybe. But they found him, so that was a good thing. So the cop has been suspended since September 9th. And they say that he is considering resigning from the force to get out of destruction of property charges. So I think that's pretty awesome. I wish Andy of Mayberry was still around. You know, we didn't really worry too much about cops doing those kind of things back in the back in those days. You know, it was a matter of walking up to him and saying, "Hey, partner, what's the problem here? Come on, let's go get a cup of coffee and talk about it a little bit." And you know, they could usually resolve this without killing anybody or anything else. Chucker, yes, I will. Let me get this email address off of here, and I'm going to copy that, and then I'm going to delete that post so that those automatic email harvesters won't see your email address there. And let me go put this here somewhere where I won't lose it. Stand by just a minute and I'll... There we go. If I can make everything work. My computer's a little slow today for some reason. I don't know what's going on here. It's actually very slow. I have another story that has to do with homeless people here. If you give me just a second, if I can get this email address saved here. This is kind of along the same lines. It's the same thing against the homeless people. Come on, let's go. There we go. All right, got it. It's in another window here. Here we go. This is a state representative. He is from, I believe, Oklahoma. No. Hang on, my damn computer's going nuts here. No, he's from Hawaii. I'm sorry. Democrat, if you can believe that. He is going after the homeless people in Hawaii there. He is taken to the streets with a sledgehammer, going out and finding these homeless people and destroying any possession that they may have. He says he's disgusted with homeless people in his state, and told the newspaper there about his own ideology on enforcing justice. He said, if I see shopping carts that I can't identify, I will destroy them so they cannot be pushed on the streets. What kind of a... Easy now. He claims that since he began this new campaign, he's destroyed an estimated 30 shopping carts with a sledgehammer in the last 2 weeks. Now, what I would like to see, how cool would this be, is that Walmart or Safeway or Big Lots or somebody finds out that that's their shopping carts and they press charges for destruction of property or some such thing against this representative. You believe that this is an elected official, Democrat or not, he's an elected official. Can you believe that he's going about and destroying these homeless people's stuff? You know, some homeless people are there because they're idiots, because they got into drugs, lost their money, or whatever the case may be, and they had a choice and they blew it. But some people just flat don't have a choice. They're down on their luck. They've tried the best they can. They look for jobs. And this idiot goes out and finds their stuff and destroys it with a sledgehammer. Somebody will kill him. He'll get out there on the street one of these days, and he may be met with a welcoming party that's not all that welcome. He says, I want to do something practical that will really clean up the streets. Wow, aren't you something? As if destroying homeless people's possession wasn't enough to clean up the streets, he's made it a priority to interrupt these people that he finds sleeping and tell them to get up and go sleep somewhere else. He said, if someone is sleeping at night on the bus stop, I don't do anything. But if they're sleeping during the day, I walk up and say, get your ass moving. So he has decided that people are not allowed to sleep during the day. If you're at the bus stop at night, that's okay. But if you're sleeping during the day, that's unacceptable to him. We do not allow sleeping during the day around here. So you need to get over that. You can sleep at night. You know, if you were out, you may have even had a little bit of a job. You'd be quiet. No, I'm talking. They may have had a job. They may have had, something else going on. But it doesn't matter because you can't sleep during the day. Because he will make you get up and get moving. And he's going to destroy your little shopping cart and all of that kind of stuff. So, all right. Well, there you have it. Lots of stuff going on right now. Some good, some bad. Not the least of which right now is the amount of snow again. Still making the news. Still looking for a couple of more feet in parts of New York. A lot of places there have over 6 feet already. There are people that are trapped in their homes. They can't get out because you would have to have an upstairs window or something. It's well over the doors on some of them. The only way to do it is some of them doors open out, and there is no way, even if they wanted to shovel the snow back in their living room, there's no way to get out. Because they'll have a door that opens to the inside, their main door, and then maybe a screen door or a glass door that opens to the outside or something, and there's just nothing they can do. So there they are. They got to wait for somebody to come and do something about it. So, yeah, there's been some roofs collapse. There's been some doors cave in. A lot of stuff going on. Last I heard, there was at least 8 people that have died out there. And yeah, if they have upper windows, if they don't, then they're out of luck. That's what I was saying. If you got a upper, a kitchen window that's up high, or second story window or something, then you've got half a chance. You can dive out into the 7-foot deep snow and see what you can do there. But anyway, all right, let's I'll save that one for... No, I won't either. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. And we're going to run over a little bit. That's okay. This is one of those things. Now, you guys are not going to agree with this, but it happens. And I've told you not to do this under any circumstances. So this is why you should never, ever fire a warning shot. You're either justified to shoot or you're not. If you're justified to shoot, you don't shoot the air. You shoot the bad guy. Here's a guy, and nobody wants to shoot anybody. I mean, that's, you know, you can sit here and beat your chest, say how tough you are all you want to, but nobody really has a burning desire to go through with shooting somebody and then put up with the consequences of which there are several. Even if you get through the civil and criminal part of it, there's still a lot of things that can happen as far as your health and your social life and your finances and all that kind of stuff. So now he thought he was doing good. He's a Sunday school teacher. And he was walking after church with his fiance. He was surrounded by 9 guys that were making threats to his fiance, to his girlfriend. And he said they were frightened for their lives. It was one of the scariest things he's ever been through. They surrounded me saying that they were going to rape my wife in front of me and cut me and all that. And so he pulled out his gun and fired a warning shot, and the guys run off. Police arrived, handcuffed him, charged him with wanton endangerment of firing a gun in a public place. And now he's in jail and may be looking at some hard time or some huge fines or both. So what would have been the proper way to handle that? No, you don't do warning shots in the leg either. You shoot for the intention of immediate stopping, or you don't shoot at all. That's your only options. What would you have done in that particular case? Well, if they went to move and act like they were actually going to carry through with this, then I would present that weapon out there and tell them, don't come any closer, I will shoot. I have a gun, don't come any closer. If they were too close to do that, then you pull it out and you shoot them. You don't fire a warning shot and you don't waste words. You speak those words as you're pulling the trigger. And so you get those words out so that anybody else that listening, a witness around there may have heard that you tried to warn them, but you still wind up having to shoot. You don't hesitate and talk, and you don't hesitate with warning shots. If you genuinely feel that your life is in danger, then you shoot the guy that's endangering your life. If there's 9 of them, then hopefully you're not carrying a revolver. But chances are, if there's 9 of them, you shoot 1 or 2 of them, it's probably going to be enough to convince the rest of them that they ought not to be there. But I would never, ever. Now, the fact is, as I said, no one wants to shoot anybody, and the warning shot may actually work. It may not. Then if you do, if it doesn't, then you're down one round to finish the fight with, so that doesn't make any sense. If it does work, you know, that's fine. Everybody goes home. It's all good, except most warning shots are fired in the air. You know, very few of them are actually fired into the lawn somewhere or something. So you've got a bullet sailing around out there. It's got to come down at some point. Not a good idea. So, you know, and we've been through this discussion before, but it's relevant right now because we've got a new story just came out. And the guy is in jail, is doing time for firing a warning shot. In Thermopolis, Wyoming, you probably get away with it. Nobody would say a word. In New York City, probably not so much. So if you're justified, you shoot the guy. If you're not, you don't. Doesn't matter if there's 9 of them. They don't even need weapons. If there's 9 of them, there is a disparity of force, a significant disparity of force that justifies you in using your weapon if you need to. So, let's see. Was he charged or convicted? Let's see. Pulled his gun. Let's see. Trying to find. Police arrived him, charged him. Okay, it doesn't say. It said he was charged. He is in jail. Or he may be out since this story was printed. But it doesn't say that. So, anyway. All right. Well, that's enough. Tell you real quick again. I hope some of you can meet me up at the rally in Washington. I hope that some of you might be able to make it to the combat medic class that we're having here in Vernon on the 27th and 28th of December. The 8-hour disaster preparedness seminar here in a day after tomorrow. And the Personal Defense Handgun 2 class in Olympia, Washington, right outside of Olympia, Washington, on the 14th and 15th of December. That's what we got going on. That's likely all the classes that we're going to do before the end of the year. And we'll be hitting it hard again sometime, probably give most of January a break and get into it first. I don't know. We may schedule something in February, in January. But anyway. All right, there you have it. I need to scoot on out of here. I got things to do, place to go, and people to see. And actually probably ought to go build a fire. It's cooling off here a little bit. It's down to, let me check here, 37. We'll see. All right, we'll see you all tomorrow. Thanks for joining me. Don't forget Liberty Lounge tomorrow. Yeah.